Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Today we're talking about birds. No, I'm not saying this program is for the birds. Today it is about birds, about the Hawaii Island Festival of Birds coming up September 14 through September 17 with headquarters at Sheraton Kona, but with trips and adventures all around the island to see and learn about our amazing Hawaii Island birds. We have two people with us to tell us more. First, Rob Pacheco. Rob and his wife Cindy founded the company Hawaii Forest and Trail in 1993, and in fact they started the company with tours to see and learn about Big Island birds. Rob worked as a naturalist when he lived on the mainland. One of the things he did while he was here is he worked as a volunteer on the Board of Land and Natural Resources. Good morning, aloha, Rob.
Aloha, thanks for having us.
And I also understand that you are one of the founders of the Hawaii Island Festival of Birds.
I was.
Very cool. We're also lucky enough to be joined again by Linda Elliott. Linda was our guest several years ago, actually talking about the Hawaii Wildlife Center. She is the founder and president of that institution, which is up in Kapa'au. She was a wildlife biology major at Arizona State after starting in school at UH Manoa, but they just didn't offer all the programs she wanted. Good morning. Aloha, Linda.
Aloha, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
And you're also very heavily involved with the Hawaii Bird Festival, yes?
Very much so. We're excited to have it here in Hawaii and this to be the third year. This is great.
Before we talk about the Festival of Birds, what is it about Hawaii Island birds that would make people want to talk about them and see them? And Rob, I'll start with you, because when you started your company, Hawaii Forest and Trail, that was one of your key focus items, looking at birds.
Yeah, well, I'm a birder. I've been a birder since I was a kid. And so I came to Hawaii, and I didn't know anything about Hawaii's natural history when I got here. And I was very much surprised to find that we have this world-class collection of native birds, and they're just an remarkable array of colorful, and they're great vocalizations, and also some of the rarest birds on Earth, and their evolutionary story is one of the greatest on the planet.
I think that a lot of us who live here, you know, we see birds. Sometimes we're lucky enough to go into the highland and we see some of the birds that are the more rare birds. But even down at sea level, you see all kinds of really fun birds. Most of them are probably not native, but they're definitely fun. And I can't tell you how much I enjoy waking up in the morning to the sound of birds. So Linda Elliott, the Hawaii Wildlife Center, what is your focus at the Hawaii Wildlife Center?
Well, because Hawaii is essentially the bird capital, being the most isolated island chain in the world, everything that got here either had to fly or come in on the water. At the Wildlife Center, we work with mainly winged creatures, and that would be over 70 species and subspecies of native birds to Hawaii. And our only native mammal is the Hawaiian hoary bat. That was one of my things growing up here. In high school, there was not a whole lot about our native birds. And then I got it to the University of Hawaii, and again, there was nothing available. So being able to find out the treasures we have here in Hawaii and share that with the rest of our residents and visitors became a big part of what I wanted to do.
How nice. So Rob Pacheco, what is the Hawaii Island Festival of Birds?
Bird festivals are a big deal around the world. In fact, one of the guys coming to our bird festival this year is Tim Appleton, who's the founder of the British Bird Fair, which is the biggest bird fair in the world. 40,000 people show up in one day. The Japan Bird Festival, with I think they have 20,000 people. And this year I'm going to the Asian Bird Festival. And then across the U.S. there's bird festivals. So a bunch of birders we've always talked about for years that, you know, we need to have a bird festival. Our bird festival, it kind of came out of the development of the Hawaii Island Coast-to-Coast Birding Trail and this concept of us having a birding trail, which is another thing that happens on the mainland. And then we thought, well, if we're going to do a birding trail, we need to have, you know, some signature event to showcase it. So that's where the festival idea came out of. And it's just a celebration of not just the native birds, but all the birds that are here. Because as you said, you know, there's a lot of fun birds here. And all those birds that we see down where we live, we brought here intentionally for the most part. And so people brought colorful, loud, you know, interesting birds to populate our lowlands that didn't have any birds.
Well, I have to tell you that around my house, we have Franklin pheasants, which when you speak of loud, those absolutely fit the bill. My husband does not like that I feed them. But we also have Caliche pheasants, which are absolutely gorgeous creatures and very different from those little Franklins who are skittish and terrified of people, whereas the Caliches, if I rattle my birdseed container, they will pop out and stare me down till I dump it out. They're quite interesting. But we also have things like saffron finches and cardinals, things that are not really native birds but are unusual for people who live where they don't have them.
Yeah, I mean, even the northern cardinal, like people from the west, you know, western U.S. come here and they're excited to see the northern cardinal because they don't see that bird in the west. It's an eastern bird.
Right.
And then we have birds from all over the world that have been brought here. You know, the common myna, you know, got here in 1865. That was brought in as a biological control to eat army cutworms that had invaded Hawaii. So we get this crazy myna here brought to help us with our vegetable gardens.
So the Hawaii Island Bird Festival is September 14 through 17. Headquarters is Sheraton Kona. I'm just amazed to hear you say that there's bird festivals around the world that, you know, get 40,000 people in a day. So what will people be able to do at this bird festival?
We have field trips that run on the Friday and Sunday of the festival, and those need to be reserved. We had a lot of mainland folks come over that sign up for the field trips, and a lot of locals too. We also run two pelagic trips out of Honokoha Harbor. So pelagic are ocean waters, and so we go out offshore a few miles and we pick up this assortment of birds that spend their life on the water, and it's pretty exciting. For bird watchers, pelagic birding is kind of a frontier. Pelagic birding is just kind of in its infancy here in Hawaii. You know, there's always a good surprise. Last year we had a south polar skua on our pelagic, which is one of the largest gulls, and that was a great sighting. So besides the field trips, we have the bird fair, which is all day Saturday at the convention center. There we have over 40 booths, educational booths, artists, people selling things, and NGOs like the Wild Wildlife Center will have a booth there, but lots of great information, education, opportunities to buy crafts and art. And it's all bird related. We're real strict about it. Your booth has to be some connection with birds. You know, you can't come and be about avocados at our bird festival.
So, well, birds eat avocados, so there's a tie-in there.
And we have great speaker sessions all day long. This year, our theme, Back from the Brink, will be featuring panels on the alala, the Hawaiian crow, the nene, the Kauai forest birds, which are in a serious state right now. And then also Michelle Reynolds will be talking about her experience working with the Laysan teal. And she was a biologist living out on this remote island, Northwest Hawaiian Islands, for months at a time with just a bunch of ducks.
And isn't she with the United States Geological Survey?
She is, yes.
In her office until recently was inside Hawaii Volcanoes National Park.
That's correct.
Yeah, actually, somebody from National Public Radio did a story with Michelle because of her amazing work. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to hearing her. Now, you indicated that a lot of people who take part in these are dedicated birders, but there's a lot of people here, including myself. I just like birds, but, you know, I'm not what I would call a birder. I don't go out with my binoculars into the forest and look for birds. So is this a festival where people would be attracted even if they don't already know a lot about birds?
Oh, yeah. That's the folks we want to come, especially to the bird fair, because we want to educate people, to get them to appreciate the birds, to learn about the serious conservation issues that our birds are facing. But yeah, like you say, you know, most of the people who like birds don't think of themselves as bird watchers, but as you said, you love listening to the birds in the morning, and this is an opportunity to come and learn a little bit more, and maybe you might pique your interest, and next thing you know, you might have a pair of binoculars in your hand and, you know, traipsing around up Upper Koloko on the birding trail and looking for an apapani.
Well, let's talk about that. There's two beneficiaries from the money that's raised at this festival. One is the Hawaii Wildlife Center, and I want to talk more about that. But the other one is something you mentioned, the Hawaii Birding Trail. What is the Hawaii Birding Trail?
So the Hawaiian Island Coast to Coast Birding Trail, it's now an official trail of the Na'alahele program with Division of Forestry and Wildlife with DLNR. And it's a trail that is really a route. So it's not like a trail that you put your backpack on and hike across, though I guess you conceivably could do that. But it's a route that connects the west side, Kona side of the island from Koloko Honokohau and runs up Hinalani and then up Mamalohoa to the old Saddle Road, across the Saddle Road, down into Hilo and ends at Lokowaka Pond. And along that way, there are multiple stops that are all places that are open to the public today that you can stop at that have bird habitat. You can see different kinds of birds. So from coast to coast, 90-mile trip, you cross a great majority of our island's ecosystems and habitats and have the opportunity to see a good chunk of the birds here on the island.
I noticed when I went to the map on the DLNR website of the birding trail that there's actually, I think, 11 designated stops. And then if people go on this birding trail, is there an explanation, like a plaque or something at the beginning that tells people what to look for?
Not yet. That's what part of the bird festival does, is we're raising funds to, you know, develop over time aspects like that to the trail. So signage, our first project was the website. So we used monies from last year's festival, and we built a set website. Signage is a big one. We want to develop curriculum for school kids, maybe a web app, and just flesh out the website, and over time develop it into more and more product and materials that people can use to experience the trail.
Linda Elliott, one of the beneficiaries, as I mentioned, is the Hawaii Wildlife Center, and you touched on what your role and mission is, but tell us more about the Hawaii Wildlife Center, because it's really a pretty special place.
It is. It's one of a kind for the state of Hawaii. You know, growing up here, there wasn't a lot of opportunities to get exposure to our native wildlife. I became passionate about it. And then in my work of doing emergency response for oil spills, working with oiled wildlife, I became aware that Hawaii also didn't have a native wildlife hospital. So that became a mission of me and the organization to correct. And so it's a conservation tool that had been missing that is needed. What happens is we take in sick and injured native birds or the Hawaiian bat, treat them and get them back into the wild, or work on conservation projects in partnership with other organizations. We've received, I think, 37 different species through the hospital at this point, and also the Hawaiian hoary bat. And from all the islands, since we're the only one in the state, we transport them from all the main islands. And we've done projects out in the remote islands, too. So I worked with Michelle Reynolds on translocating that critically endangered lace anteal from Midway to Kauri Atoll. So we get an opportunity to use our skills in other conservation projects. But, you know, we never know from day to day what species we'll get in. Today, I think we have at least 10 patients in care from three or four islands represented. So everything from Io from the Big Island, Nene from Kauai, and seabirds from Oahu at this point.
Linda, do you have any idea how many birds you have taken in since the Hawaii Wildlife Center started receiving patients? And when was that, by the way?
We started receiving patients in 2012, and in that time we've nearly had 400 birds and bats through our door.
Oh, that's pretty good. How do people get these birds to you?
That's the amazing thing is that, you know, since we get them from throughout the whole state, we depend on the public and volunteers to make that happen. Yesterday, we got an EO from Kalapana area, I believe, that showed up at the end of a driveway looking very, very poor. And that person called. We had a person on our Wheels for Wildlife volunteer team in that area who went and picked it up and delivered it all the way to us in Kapa'au.
Wow.
Earlier in that week, we had a nene that came from Kauai, was transported to Oahu for surgery, and then from there, the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary transported it to Upolo Airport in Hawaii, and we picked it up there and took it to the hospital. So it takes a whole lot of people to make these things happen.
I recall that you were raising funds at one time for a vehicle. Do you have a little bird ambulance that you use, like to pick up a bird at the airport?
Absolutely. We have our Transit Connect that has gone many, many miles. We've even shipped it over to Oahu during the down seabird season to use there. It's a wonderful little vehicle that we rely on heavily to pick up birds from airports and also to take our education programs on the road.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. We're on the radio on the Big Island every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then the interviews are posted as podcasts to lava1053.com and to koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Next Sunday morning, we begin 2 weeks weeks of discussion about the all-important astronomy lease given to the University of Hawaii atop Mauna Kea, because no matter what the decision is relative to 30-meter telescope, those astronomy leases are necessary for astronomy to exist on the mountain. Our guests will be Greg Chun of UH and Doug Simons of Canada-France-Hawaii Telescope. Today we're talking about the Hawaii Island Festival of Birds coming to Sheraton Kona September 14 through 17 with Rob Pacheco, one of the founders. He's with Hawaii Forest and Trail, and Linda Elliott of the Hawaii Wildlife Center. Let's get back to our discussion. As we've discussed, a lot of the birds here on the island are not native birds. For example, the Franklins or the Caliche pheasants or the cardinals or the saffron finches. If those birds are injured, do you treat those birds as well?
We're able to help. We have this year received over 400 calls from throughout the state, mainly for non-native species. And so we're able to help people when they have a question. We have a mina fledgling that came out of the nest and it's in our yard. What do we do? How do we help it? So we're able to help people or direct them in the right direction for the non-natives. And we do that quite frequently on a daily basis.
Very nice. Where do you get your funding from for the Hawaii Wildlife Center? Because it's got to cost you a pretty penny to run this institution.
It does. I mean, we're the only hospital in the state. We're on 2 acres worth 4,500 square feet. We have a small staff of five. But it takes funds to make this happen. And as a 501c3 charity, we rely mainly on individual donations. So we hope that people will see and hear and learn about our project and want to help us make this happen.
What's your budget annually?
It's close to $500,000 a year.
Okay. And hopefully something out of this Hawaii Bird Festival that's coming up September 14 through 17 will help. And Rob, I know you've told us a little about some of the events that are going on. Give us an example of some of the excursions folks can go on to see these birds, other than the pelagic trip, which sounds pretty cool. I didn't even know you did that. You take folks out on a boat. But what else on land?
So we have several field trips. They primarily are concentrated on getting people up into the native forest to see the native birds. We have trips that go to Hakalau National Wildlife Refuge on the eastern slopes of Mauna Kea, which is one of the best places to see our birds. And there we get the rare and endangered Akepa and Alavi, or the Hawaii creeper, and Akeopola owl. We also do our what we call endangered native habitat tour, which goes into the dry forest of Mauna Kea for Palila specifically, and a little subrace of Elopaio, among some other forest birds, and a lot of non-natives we pick up there too. And then from there, we go over to the rainforest Kipukas on the wet side of the saddle to pick up some of the wet rainforest birds. And we have a leeward birding trip. I think that one's sold out, but that just runs up the coast all the way up to Pololu Valley, and we stop at various places and just picking up birds all along the way, a lot of coastal birds. We stop in at the Hawaii Wildlife Center and get a tour of the facilities there on that tour. We also have a nature extravaganza, which is kind of a big Circle Island tour with, of course, focused on their nature and a special focus on birds.
So when I go to places where I hear native birds, let's say I'm in Volcano or somewhere in a rainforest, it's really hard to see the birds. So on these tours, how do you make sure that people can actually see the birds?
We pay the birds off ahead of time.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I knew it.
That's where a guide really helps, you know, and it does take patience, but as a guide, you have to have an ear, and then you get focused in, and you direct the people, so it's a bit of a skill and art to learn how to do that. And then lots of times, too, there's, you know, experienced birders on, and birders are great because they're really interested in helping, you know, someone who's not necessarily a very avid birder, and so it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, our regular tours in Hawaii Forest and Trail, we get a lot of non-birders on our bird-watching tours. They all have a great time. I think, frankly, that going out into the forest and seeing our birds is one of the most deeply enriching cultural things you can do on the island.
I have to say, you know, even though I love birds, it's going out on these guided tours with the experts there that have the good ears makes it so easy for the non-birder to have a wonderful experience and see things that other people in the world haven't seen and have those experiences that are one of a kind. So even me, as somebody who gets to work with birds in my hands, love going out with Hawaii Forest and Trails or on this, because they're able to find birds that I haven't seen my whole life because they've been there. They know where the territories, they know what to look for, and they'll point it out so that you're not spending all your time with your binoculars searching amongst the leaves for something interesting. So it's definitely, for the beginners, the best way to do it.
And we're going to these birds' homes, and we're there pretty regularly. So, you know, like any other creature, there's patterns and habits, and we kind of know where things are hanging out and where nests are and, you know, where things are likely to show up.
Now, Rob, I know that you have events that are part of this Hawaii Festival of Birds that aren't bird tours specifically. I read on the website there's films, there's evening events. Tell us more about those and what's up with those.
So Friday, we have a...
And this is Friday the 14th.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a film festival, and we have a fee for that, which includes the opening reception. So we'll have poo-poos and wine, beer at that. And then we have a few short films that are about Hawaii's birds in various aspects. And then we'll have a little break. And then we have Open to the Public for Free is a new movie out on the Laysan Albatross. It's a feature film. It's about 90 minutes. So we have the film festival and the opening reception. And then Saturday night is kind of our big event for the evening. And the last 2 years we've done kind of, you know, the gala dinner thing, sit-down dinner. So we've really changed it up this year. And we're having a outdoor Brews, Birds, and Binos event.
Binos are what?
Binoculars.
Albinos? Oh, binoculars.
Binoculars, yes. That's a little a bird nerd term. So there's going to be about 5 or 6 food booths featuring our island ethnic street plate lunch cuisine. And then we have Ola Brews coming on as a sponsor for us, and we're going to have a brew on tap from them. We're going to have a canned beer from them and a cider on tap. And also one of their non-alcoholic drinks. And we have a optics company called Air, Land, and Sea coming from Texas, who's one of the major optics retailers in the country.
Optics meaning like glasses?
Binoculars, spotting scopes, telescopes. So even if you're not a birder, if you're a hunter or just sporting optics, if you're a stargazer, this would be a great event to come to, or even at the bird fair, because they're bringing over lots of different product that you can try out. And so that will be fun. They're a major sponsor for that evening. And so we hope to have a lot of fun. And on that, we have a silent auction and a live auction. And that's where we raise a lot of the proceeds that end up going to the Hawaii Wildlife Center and to the Coast to Coast Birding Trail.
You mentioned that the theme of this year's festival is Back from the Brink, Hawaii's Battle Against Extinction. Tell us about extinction of native birds. We know it happens, but why has it happened, and is there anything we as people can do to prevent it?
Well, let's talk about the Hawaiian honeycreepers. Hawaiian honeycreepers are a tribe of birds that evolved here in the Hawaiian Islands. And so from a single colonization about maybe several million years ago, a finch-like bird made it here, and over time in the isolation of the islands evolved into over 60 species of birds.
Really?
Yeah,
are these the ones with the curvy bills?
Yeah, like the i'iwi and the apapani and amakihi. So each island had their own endemic species that were just specific to those islands. And then we had other birds like apapani and i'iwi that were common throughout all the islands. But these are birds that, from an evolutionary standpoint, are unsurpassed in the world, you know, as far as this process. There's no other example of this kind of evolutionary splendor occurring in the bird world.
Why did it happen here, and why doesn't it happen elsewhere, if that's what you're suggesting?
Well, it does happen elsewhere. It's just that Hawaii's kind of evolution on steroids, and it's not just about our birds. We have the world's supreme example of evolutionary process with the Hawaiian Drosophila, Hawaiian pumice flies. So from maybe a single genetic colonizer, we have maybe 1,000 species of flies that evolved.
How wonderful. flies.
Well, they're really cool, actually, flies.
Okay.
And then plants, same thing. We have some of the best examples in the plant world. So Hawaii is like, think Madagascar, think the Galapagos, you know, think the Malay Archipelago. Those are all places that Hawaii is on par and actually, you know, stands shoulder to shoulder with as far as its natural heritage. So the honeycreepers are not only the world's best example of this adaptive radiation and evolution, they're also the most endangered family of birds on Earth. There's been more extinctions in this group of birds than any other group of birds on the planet. And, you know, that process is still happening. Last year on one of the panels, we had a panel called Last Sightings. And we had 6 individuals up there. And these guys weren't old guys. Some of the guys were just, you know, in their late 40s, early 50s. Of those 6 guys, they represented 10 species that they had all personally seen out in the field that are now extinct.
That's really tragic.
It really is. And so there's a battle. It's a battle. It's a Herculean effort that's going on. And it's something that Hawaii, even though we have, you know, the bulk share of endangered species in the United States, we don't get a fair amount of funding. A lot of it has to do with people's understanding and awareness of it. These birds, if we don't keep working hard, we're going to see more extinctions.
Why do they go extinct?
Because they all disappear.
No. Thank you, Rob.
sorry. You know, extinction happens at different levels. One is, you know, we've transformed the landscape here. Once people arrived here, as humans do, we begin to transform the landscape. So loss of habitat was a big one. The first people who arrived here, the first Polynesians, you know, they ate a lot of birds. There was a wave of extinction with the first people coming here. Then after Westerners got here, we cleared out even more land, fragmented the habitat even further. We brought disease vectors along, introduced birds that carried avian malaria, avian disease, mosquitoes transferring this. So disease is a big part of what's happening now with our birds. And as climate change is happening and warming temperatures, these mosquitoes are climbing in elevation. So the habitat, the safe zone for these birds is shrinking. And then also predation. You know, we have cats and rats that wreak havoc on our forests, ungulates that destroy forest habitat, and sheep and goats and pigs and things. So it's a multi-pronged attack on the birds and to protect the habitats.
Is there a way to turn that tide, to stop that? Linda's nodding.
Yeah, there is. We've got to be hopeful. For example, the alala, the Hawaiian crow. Well, here's a story. One of the stories we're going to be telling at that you're going to be able to hear at the conference is the nene. When they rounded up the last nene in the wild in the 1930s here, there was around 30 birds.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. And so they began to captive breed, and they weren't very successful. Fortunately, nene had been taken to England and were being bred in an abbey at Slimbridge. And they got it down, and they had several hundred birds. And those birds were brought back and were an important part of the not only in the gene pool for here, but also giving us information on how to raise these things. And Tim Appleton, who's coming over to talk, he actually was one of the guys working with the nene way back in the day.
Oh,
so
wow.
So he's got a great story there. So nene today, now we have, and I'm going to have Steve Hess, who's going to come and talk about their study where they put telemetry study on the nene, and we now see nene flying across the islands off these historical flight paths, and now there's several thousand nene across the islands. So that's a success story, you know. Alala, the story's not fully out, but alala went extinct in the wild. In the early 2000s, the last ones were seen in the wild, but we took birds out. There's been a captive breeding program, and now we've recently released alala into the wild, so there's now alala again out in the forest. And we have examples from around the world where we brought things back. The California condor is a great example of that, and there's other examples. So, yeah, if we focus, we have the political will, we have the money, and we have the technology. You know, we have the ability to stem the tide, but it's not just going to happen on its own.
No, and we can bring in the community. Everybody can do something. Just starting with planting native plants in your backyard. You're recreating habitat that was lost when we started building our homes and our agricultural endeavors. Is sharing those properties with native Hawaiian species and recreating habitat for them to expand back to. Now we have nene showing up in our golf courses and resorts. So let's learn how to be good neighbors with native wildlife and realize what a treasure they are. I mean, I've been to Guam. And after the brown tree snake accidental introduction, going out into a forest and you don't realize how much you wake up to bird sound every day and that it's part of your life until it's gone. And it is really creepy and eerie to stand in a forest and just hear insects. So we don't want that to happen in Hawaii. And so we encourage everybody to get out and work with conservation projects, volunteer your time, come and help out at the Hawaii Wildlife Center. Plant native plants. You can help with the rapid ohia death problem by planting ohias. So there's a lot of things individuals can do to make this story a much brighter one.
Rob, I want to go back. Didn't the first reintroduction of the alala, I will use the term fail, but didn't a lot of them die? And what's the status now?
So what happened in the first reintroduction is there was a wild pair left, the Kalahiki pair, which, by the way, are the pair that's depicted on the artwork from Karen Lobel Fried. That's our artwork for this year for the festival. Beautiful, inspired by a Jack Jeffrey photograph. So they reintroduced them into McCandless Ranch. a couple things were happening. One, there was predation on the alala from the Io. And then it also turned out, after looking at some of the birds out there, that they had been infected with toxoplasmosis, which is a parasite that's spread through cats. They learned some hard lessons there. They did lose birds, but then they brought the remaining ones back into captivity. And so what happened with this recent introduction is really fascinating. Is actually they've actually trained these alala who've been raised in captivity to have a predator response to the EO. And so they released the first ones out, and they actually had a quick attrition, and they pulled them back in. And they basically brought in an EO to help train, you know, to learn them to be, hey, you need to be scared of this guy. And it's actually they're seeing behavioral response that's appropriate to, you know, when there's a lot of vocalizing and the EO comes around and everything like that. So this is it's not, you know, a slam dunk thing. And you got to give it to these researchers. They're dedicated. And it's something like any good science, you know, it's test and see if it works. If it doesn't, figure out the way to make why it didn't and try to improve and go forward. And that's basically, you know, what we're doing. And they've made a lot of great progress. And right now, the birds seem to be healthy. So they have the really cool things. The birds will fly out. And when they come into these perches, they have scales on them. So they're able to measure the birds to make sure and they're getting the nutrition. You know, they're keeping their weight on. And yeah, really, really fascinating stuff. It will be interesting to hear about that from our panelists on the Alala at the festival.
Oh, yeah. Before we close out our interview, I am just curious to know whether you have any information about sense of the impact of either the Vog or the active lava flow on birds on this island.
As far as the Vog, I don't know if anybody knows anything. It'd be really hard to study. You could make some guesses. But at the volcano down in Puna, the lava did take out habitat. The Malama Key Forest was impacted heavily, which was some of the best lowland rainforest left in the Hawaiian Islands. And there was a really robust population of amakihi, which were some of the lowest elevation amakihi. Most of our native birds are higher elevation up above the mosquito line. So these were birds. I remember being at McKenzie Park and seeing amakihi at the coast, like right at the water in ironwood, you know, working, which is just, you know, to me was spectacular. Definitely those birds have been impacted, and there was probably good populations of eel all in that area, which lost a lot of habitat, probably nesting habitat. It's going to impact those birds. So definitely the volcano had some impact on the native birds down there.
If the birds lose habitat, would they be likely to move someplace else, given that I'm assuming the birds could see the lava coming just like everybody else? Or would they typically be so rooted to their exact geographic location that they may perish?
Yeah, that's hard to know. You can look at their behavior. Birds like Apapani and Iivi move big distances. And that's why they're found throughout all the islands, because they, you know, up flying up, so they got moved around. The amakihi are more of an understory bird, so for them to like pick up and fly away and to go up and find a forest, and the native forest from Malama Key was pretty good distance. But they're feathered. They definitely a lot more advantageous than the bugs and the sea creatures as far as being able to get away from there. But I'm certain that it's not just an easy my forest is gone, I'm going to fly over here and find a new forest. That's not how it works.
That's sad. It's time to say aloha, but before we do, Rob Sheko, what else should we know about the Hawaii Island Festival of Birds?
Well, let's see. We have these wonderful breakfasts with the birds on Saturday morning, the opportunity to walk the grounds of Sheraton Keho with a guide, and then at Koloko Honokohau National Park. And those are really fun. We feed you a little breakfast if you go out. So if you want to check out what bird watching all is about, this is a good opportunity. Well, on Monday, we have service trips up into the Mauna Kea Forest Reserve and also up Hualalai and up to the Hawaii Wildlife Center.
Meaning you're going to help.
Yes, you're going to help.
Get them in there and let them see what we do and give a hand and a unique opportunity.
Right. But we really encourage people to come out. Bring the kids especially. We got great kids activities at the Bird Fair all day long.
Okay, what's the website for the Hawaii Island Festival of Birds?
It's hawaiibirdfest.org.
HawaiiBirdFest.org. Thank you, Rob Pacheco, for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having us. Aloha.
Linda Elliott, Hawaii Wildlife Center. What would you like to add? Because I know you'll be at this Hawaii Island Festival of Birds.
I would say don't miss it. It's absolutely fun for everybody and anyone, and it's a great way to learn about what is Hawaii, what's native to Hawaii, what Hawaii's ecosystems are about, around people that are enthusiastic and give you information you couldn't get otherwise. So it's definitely a lot of fun for everybody.
And what is the website for the Hawaii Wildlife Center if folks want to check that out?
It's hawaiiwildlifecenter.org.
HawaiiWildlifeCenter.org. And do you take drop-in visitors at the Hawaii Wildlife Center?
Well, we have visiting hours. We have a Science and Discovery Center that's free and open to the public, and that's Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So stop by and you'll get a chance to get some up-close looks at our species in these wonderfully carved honey creepers and then also the other exhibits. We also feature information on each of our patients in care.
And you are up in Kapa'au at the very north part of the island.
We are. It's a gorgeous area. It's worth the drive up there. Lots to do in the area with the Pololu Valley and the shopping in our town. So come up and you can also sign up and volunteer with us too.
Rob gave her a nudge. Okay, Linda Elliott, thank you so much for being with us. Aloha.
This was great. Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualala, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@labo105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.